This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
It is awards season, awards week, if you will, on Packer and Durham. Mondays presented by Subway. And it's our pleasure to announce these awards that the Atlantic Coast Conference hands out this time of year, at the end of the football season. We're happy to do it. We've been trusted with this for 510 shows.
We have been perfect in this department.
We've done very well.
We are perfect.
I don't know perfect. We've done
very
well.
I'm going to say perfect because not one time has somebody said, sources say the winner of is
that is
blank.
True. All right.
Yet to give it out.
We've got three awards to present here in the 9 o'clock hour on this Monday. All ACC is tomorrow at 9. So let's start with the Jim Tatum Award, which is annually presented to the top football scholar athlete in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Tatum, of course, a two-time ACC Coach of the Year. And the winner of the award is Wake Forest offensive tackle Zach Tom. The owner of a 3.76 career GPA, Tom was named a postgraduate scholar recipient after completing his undergraduate.
And no one knew this until right now, that he's a huge Justin Ross fan.
So, Tom.
Who knew?
Hang on a second. I think we do have Zach Tom in action, though. Ready?
Justin Ross is great.
Right.
I'm sure he'd love to receive this award.
Sure.
But he's not going to win this one?
No, he's not winning this one.
No.
This is the Jim Tatum Award, right, and it goes to Zach Tom from Prairieville, Louisiana. So Tom, by the way, had an undergraduate degree in business and enterprise management with cum laude honors last spring. Spent the fall working on his grad degree. ACC all-academic team the last 2 years. Academic honor roll as well for Zach Tom, one of the best offensive linemen in the ACC, and the winner of the Jim Tatum Award.
It's impressive.
Outstanding player.
Yeah, really. This is one of those deals that, I mean, if you're a junkie like us, this is one of those big-time awards.
Yep.
You want your name on this trophy because you're getting the job done, not only on the field, but you're getting the job done in the classroom. Very impressive.
Yep. Next up is the Brian Piccolo Award, which is given annually since 1970 in memory of the late Brian Piccolo for the most courageous football player in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Justin Ross of Clemson is one of two winners.
How about that?
This year of the Brian Piccolo Award. Ross, of course, a remarkable comeback from neck surgery a couple of seasons ago to contribute to Clemson's success. And he's had a marvelous career at Tiger Town.
And ironically, Justin Ross, a huge fan of Tom, who just won the previous award, from what I understand.
Also a winner of the Brian Piccolo Award, and deservedly so. Arguably the best comeback story we've seen the last 10 years in college football is Mackenzie Milton. Maybe longer, Pac. The 9 different surgeries on a broken leg in his days at UCF. He comes back this year and not only makes it to the field, helps Florida State, but at the same time, Mark, is a tremendous leader of what Mike Norvell has built in Tallahassee.
Yeah, when we had him on the show before the season started, man, what he has gone through, really both these guys. Justin Ross, the same way your dad would talk about the fact that a lot of doctors thought, hey, this dude will never play football again.
Yep.
And I know he got hurt late in the season, couldn't contribute down the stretch, but man, Mackenzie Milton, same deal. You just wondered if he could walk again, you know, right? Talked about amputation, what's going to happen. He said, no, I'm going to go play, and he did. Two incredible stories, and a well-deserved the Prickle Award, which, by the way, runs deep.
That's right. That's your godfather.
Godfather.
Yeah.
Piccolo.
That's awesome. Yeah. The last award that we're going to present today is one that the ACC has handed out since 1953. It is the Jacobs Blocking Trophy to the most outstanding blocker in the Atlantic Coast Conference by a poll of the league's head coaches. And this year's winner is Charlotte's Ike Ekwonu. Big 79. The Athletic calls him the most feared lineman in the Atlantic Coast Conference. And it is hard to argue. Just watch the highlights. A finalist for the Outland Trophy, regarded as one of the top players available for this spring's draft, a two-time All-ACC Offensive Lineman of the Week this year. One sack from his left tackle position in 755 snaps.
I'd like to be his agent because he's getting ready to make some serious coin on the next level.
Well, how about just let's visit with him first before you start trying to take 5%.
I don't want anything.
Let's go live to Raleigh. Ikey Ekwonu. I got to tell you, the first time you were with us, we had glasses and all this and plates of pancakes. Now we're just hanging out and talking to Packer and Durham. How you doing, man?
I've been doing good. How have you
Congratulations.
Been? Congratulations. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
This season, I know you want to be playing this week. But, Ikey, you know what? That last game, are you kidding me? Seriously. I mean, you got to be on the sideline thinking, son of a gun, I'm not going out like this. You kidding? We're not going to lose those boys in baby blue. Before we talk about the career and so forth, how about that game Friday night? Now, you've been part of some crazy, crazy wins, but that's got to be close to being at the very top.
Yeah, that's got to be up there for me. And I just feel like it really just shows, you know, the fight that we have in this team. And just we're always going to be in it until the clock hits zero. And I think we really showed that this past Friday.
Ikey, the ball game Friday night is one thing. The moments and the highs and the lows in this thing, is it one of the biggest swings you've ever been in a football game just from the way it played out? I mean, block punts early, all sorts of craziness, and then the throw to Emeka at the end?
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of ups and downs throughout the game. I'm just really happy for the team that we were able just to survive through so much adversity and just stay strong. And just, I just feel like as long as there's time on the clock, we always feel like we're in it. That's just kind of the mindset we have here. And I feel like we show time and time again that we're a team that can, no matter what, we can always come back. We can always win a game.
You know, it's been quite a year for the Wolfpack, but for you in particular, what's this season been like? Because a lot of people had you at the top of scouting reports coming in. You had a great 2020. You'd had an incredible finish to 19, but 2021, you were the guy, and yet you've met all those challenges. So what's this fall been like for you?
Yeah, this fall has been great. This is probably the most fun I've had playing football since I've been here at NC State. Just being with all the guys here, I feel like we have such a strong chemistry and such a strong connection here at NC State. So it's just been so much fun for me. And then I was able to hit some of my personal goals. You know, being I wanted to win the Outland Trophy, but being a finalist just brings me one step closer to one of my biggest personal goals. And so that's really exciting for me. And I'm just really excited for the future just to see what happens next.
Ikey, you know, you talk about this team and the chemistry it has, the way they all play together and all that stuff. I still go back to a couple years ago when NC State had one of those seasons where injuries just depleted everything. I mean, just Dave Dorn could barely put a team together late in the year. Fans were grumbling and everything else. But, man, a lot of guys got valuable playing time. And I thought it paid off last year. I thought it really paid off this year. You guys were experienced. You were tough. You just mentioned the moment never seemed too big for NC State this year. You got some great quality wins, 10 straight wins now at home. Carter Finley's been rocking and rolling. All that kind of comes into play, doesn't it? It kind of goes full circle for a career at NC State or any other college athlete for that matter.
Yeah, it's definitely been great. This has been, I guess, you know, one of the best environments I've been in since being here. You know, the fans were locked in for every game. We were able to rush the field twice, which is something I've never experienced since I got here. So it's definitely been great. It's been a great culture here, been a great team. And I just feel like, you know, it was always a next man up mentality. You know, no matter who went down, it was always, you know, I got to play now. I got to play, you know, just as good as the person that was ahead of me. So I feel like we all kind of did our job, and I was really proud of this team this year.
Yeah, you guys really played well. By the way, those field rushes, what's the game plan for you when all of a sudden, hey, here come my fellow Wolfpackers, and we're all out there partying like rock stars. Do you want to get inside and get safe, or do you want to stay out there amongst them? What's the game plan when that happens?
Well, I want to stay out there at least until I see my family. But, you know, when they rush the field, it can be hard. So I stay out there as long as I can. I say what's up to the fans. You know, I'm from Charlotte, so I have a lot of friends that go to state as well. So I look for them, and I just kind of just try and enjoy the moment because, you know, you only get so many of those.
All right, now that brings up an interesting point. I've had guys tell me when they get in the scrums after games, the crowd and storming the field, that it's amazing because you'll run into, like, somebody who's in class with you that you didn't think mm-hmm. came to football games. You'll run into people you haven't seen. NC State's got a huge campus. I mean, you may see somebody you went to Providence with that you haven't seen on campus in a year or two. So did you have that bizarre encounter with somebody you're like, hey, what's he doing here? What's she doing here? Did you have that?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't really call it bizarre, but, I saw one of my old friends from Providence Day, shout out Jay Cruz. He was on the wrestling team with me for all 4 years, and so we kind of just been friends ever since then. But I haven't seen him in like 3 years because I know he does ROTC and all that sort of stuff. So it was cool seeing him again.
Hey, by the way, do you ever take a sneak peek at some of these mock drafts?
Oh yeah, come on.
See your name up there and go, son of a gummy, it's coming fast. You ever take a sneak peek?
Honestly, I try not to look at the mock drafts and all that sort of stuff just because, the NFL season is not even done yet. So, you not even know who's going to pick first, who's going to pick, this and that. So, I really just try and focus on my time here at NC State. I didn't try and think about the NFL or the next level at all, really, while I was playing for.
Icky, here's the thing that I get asked. This is, third time you've been with us? Like, now, right, Pac? Third or fourth? I mean, you've been with us more than a couple times, and each time, and I'm sure it's going to happen after today's appearance, I am always asked by somebody, I saw that big tackle from NC State on the show. What a nice young man to be so mean on the field. So what's the deal? You flip the switch, man. What happens in the game? Do you go out there and talk sweet pleasants to, the guy you're getting ready to hammer? What's the story?
I mean, I guess I just flipped that switch. I've always just kind of had that mindset to me that anytime I get on the field, I just want to dominate people. And that's always not a mindset I carry, in real life, because you can only do so much in real life. But when you're on the field, you can really just let loose and just play how you want to play. And I feel like if I don't really give it my all, I'm letting my teammates down. So I got to go 100% every time I'm on the field.
Icky, you got a play that you remember just driving somebody 35 yards downfield and planting them? I mean, there's got to be one or two that you go, man, you got back in the huddle and just said, I just wore out number so-and-so. I mean, there's got to be one. Right, has to be one.
I can't really think of one. It just all happened so fast in the game, and then I kind of remember when after we watched film, I kind of circled back to it. But I can't really think of one right now at the top of my head.
All right, so
maybe off the record.
Oh, there we go. I knew it. Yep. All right, there we go. Hey, this week ends obviously the regular season. Postseason's out there for you guys. There are team goals here. And you guys, I think one of the reasons that NC State's had the success they've had is you guys have built the last couple of years for a season of sustainability, which is what you have this year. How important in the big picture for this team is that postseason game?
Yeah, I feel like it's important to us. Something that Coach Dorn has been talking about is there hasn't been an NC State team that's had 10 wins in I think in the history of the program. So getting that 10th win is definitely important to us and definitely important to the program.
Yeah, in fact, it's only happened once, Icky, and that was Phillip Rivers about 19 years ago. But the point of it is this could be a really, really special club, and it'd be nothing better than going out saying, guess what, boys, we got the double digits. And I know that's been something that's been on that board for all you guys to play moving forward. Do you have a vibe? By the way, I know you want to be playing this weekend in Charlotte. But do you have a vibe at all about Wake Forest and Pittsburgh?
Honestly, I'm not really sure, because we haven't really played. We didn't play Pitt this year. But, I mean, it's probably going to be a lot of points scored. That's really all I can say about that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's probably going to be a shootout.
That'd be right. Well, I know now you come down to Charlotte this weekend, right? You get a chance to come down and hang out a little bit?
Yeah, I'm excited. I get to stay in a hotel in my own city, so it should be fun.
Nothing better.
Yeah.
Nothing better.
Hey, if you need another place to stay, you can always hang out up here at the Eric McClain suite. We got room for you, just in case.
Okay. Hey. Yeah, I might have stopped by.
Yeah, right. Well, there you go.
Do that. Come on.
We clear a little bit of space out here in the basement for you if you want to swing by. The idea that you're a finalist for the Outland Trophy, I know that was a goal. I know you'd like to win it. But this is it's been a big run for you the last couple of years, and you got a lot to be proud of, my man.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, and congratulations on being the winner of the Jacobs Blocking Trophy. It's always great to see you. Thanks for the time, and good luck the rest of the way, okay?
Appreciate you. Go Pack.
That's it.
It is.
There it is, yeah.
Tell you what, Icky looked real good in the Panthers jersey. playing for his hometown.
What are you doing?
I'm just saying.
You're trying to get
guys from Charlotte.
Trying to get him all signed up for your team.
Well, I'm just saying he's from Charlotte.
Might be other teams picking him.
Panthers stink. Could use some help up front. Don't think he'd be pretty good down here. Think he'd be great.
He'd be good too in other spots.
I understand that, but he's only got one hometown, Wes.
I understand. Doesn't mean he can't play in the same division.
And you know he doesn't like the Falcons.
What do you mean that?
Because if you're from Charlotte, you don't like the Falcons.
I've already told you this. I've told you that the Falcons and Panthers have something in common.
Yeah, they're chasing Tampa?
No, they don't like the Saints. Oh, that both too. Of them. They like each other more than they like the Saints. So there you go. On the other side, more about the championship game coming up. And a word about the Commonwealth Cup the other night.
Yeah, we got to get to that.
Boy, you know, in Virginia right now, though, are they ever going to talk?
We're going to talk about the Hokies and the Hoos. I promise you.
That and more coming up next. Packer and Durham on a Monday is presented to you by Subway.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday, championship week in the Queen City.
Oh, boy.
Pittsburgh, Wake Forest, get your tickets now. First to 40, Wes, high score. Mm-hmm. Yeah, feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, Mark Jones and Robert Griffin III don't need to get all wound up in stories and everything because the ball will be in the air, right?
You know that, right.
A ton.
Yeah. But both defenses, though, coming off good performances at Pitt.
Well, and you got guys like a point of attack guy in Kalijah Cansey and another guy in Miles Fox. We'll talk about this later in the week. We'll get breakdowns, all sorts of things leading up to Saturday night. But you're going to have presence inside. But we've talked about Zach Tom winning one of the awards. I mean, I think Carter Warren at left tackles had a really underrated year for Pittsburgh. I mean, they've got a good offensive line. Call me crazy here. Games like this sometimes get decided by the second wrinkle, run games. You know, how does Pitt defend the mesh? We'll see. I mean, it's going to be a good ball game. And neither one expected to be there. We talked about it. Pittsburgh probably the closest of the two, right behind Carolina in some of the preseason thoughts. Miami was up there too, but Pittsburgh ends up winning the Coastal. Wake, of course, was behind NC State, behind Clemson. Some had Boston College up there.
Well, BC did go 6-6.
I know.
I mean, we got 10 ACC teams bowl eligible.
Yeah.
10.
So congratulations to Wake and Pitt. We're looking forward to Saturday night, 8 o'clock on ABC. Don't forget, ACC Network coverage starts at 6, following our basketball triple header, and then following the game, full post-game reaction from the Huddle folks inside Bank of America Stadium. All right? Now.
Can we get to Virginia?
You know they're just sitting there going, I have been watching since 7. All right. Virginia Tech. Were you surprised?
Yes.
So was I.
I was.
29-24, the final. The Hokies have won 17 of the last 18 in the series dating back to 2004.
That's called crazy. That's called ownership.
Oh, my gosh.
And no other way to sweet talk. Virginia Tech, crazy year. Justin Fuente out. Coach Price filling in.
Love it.
Total love affair with the institution.
Love J.C. Price.
I just thought Virginia, and I know they've not been great defensively. I get it. Said it last week when we did accounting. I had them 9th, and y'all were making fun of me. I said, they haven't won in a month. But I just thought with Brennan Armstrong back, Virginia Tech kind of getting to the end of the season. Coaches, who knows what's going to happen with that front. Not sure they could play a keep-away game. I just didn't think they could do it.
Right.
And you're sitting there watching the game going, why are we surprised? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, Virginia Tech just has their number.
Right.
Period.
Has crazy. It.
17 of 18, 21 of 23.
It's just crazy.
Even when you think there's years that Virginia's mm-hmm. favorite at home, which isn't often, they right. just don't get the job done.
And Mark, here's the other thing, too. When you start breaking apart where this is, they had multiple 100-yard rushers in the game.
320 yards rushing. When you can't stop the run, you're in trouble.
I mean, and here's the other part. A week ago, they were riding an emotional roller coaster at Miami, and they showed you the ability to fight back. Remember, it's 21-3 in South Florida, and they got back in the ball game. So you knew they had a little bit of thump about them. And Virginia, Cavaliers just couldn't close the deal. And now you wonder, where's the, you know, where's Virginia in this game? Because that's the kind of game you got to win, right?
Well, for the Hokies too, you win, you get bowl eligible. Right now, who knows what they're going to do with their coach?
Yeah, we'll get to that later in the week.
We got plenty of time to worry about all that stuff. But just becoming bowl eligible, especially this year,
right,
really important, I think, for Virginia Tech. And for Virginia, Wes, the last win's October 23rd. October 23rd. I mean, Wednesday's December. All right? So what a weird year for the Hoos now.
Seriously. And what will they be come postseason?
I don't know.
You want, but remember we have the 21-22 discussion sometimes with bowl games?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a fair question, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you about that one.
All right. We said this last week. I'm going to reiterate it again. I know Mike Golic Jr. did during the broadcast the other night. I don't know who the next coach at Virginia Tech's going to be. I don't know. But I know this. J.C. Price probably ought to be on that staff. That guy's done a whale of a job, Pack. And he loves the place.
He does.
And you got to have guys like J.C. Price. Look at that. Come on now.
Hey, when as he said, this is home.
Right.
We're not losing in Charlottesville.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's personal. And, man, he loved that more than anything else right there. And nothing better.
Huh?
Nothing better. He's living for that moment.
I mean, that's what you want. Coaching at your school, somebody who loves your place
Whit Babcock in his press conference talked about the fit, embracing the local community, being a part of what we do. I mean, that's what that dude does.
No question.
I mean, he wouldn't do it.
His wife's a Hall of Famer. Right. He's a great player.
He wouldn't do it for free, but he'd be about as close to somebody that would do it for free, right? He's one of those guys. This is my home. This is what I do. But I got to tell you, there were some games this weekend. I was dead wrong about it. This was one of them. This was one of them. I thought Virginia would throw it all over the yard, score 40-something, win the game. Cup goes back to Charlottesville for a while. But no, it's going right back to where it's been 17 in the last 18 years. Blacksburg.
Crazy, right?
Weird year for Virginia, too. Four-game winning streak, four-game losing streak. You know, you go back to the doink win against Miami, the fourth quarter rally against Louisville. Weird. I mean, again, I'm not saying they're the team of mystery. There's only one of those. But Virginia kind of gave you a not sure who they are. They're all over the place. Like when accounting comes out tomorrow with us.
Oh, we got to do that again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Now, I had the Hoos ninth last week. I think you had them like fifth or
something. I did. That's not going to stand.
And I said to you, I thought, call me crazy.
Yeah, that's not going to go.
But the league at the end of the day, we'll get into more of this with accounting tomorrow. But you kind of know who the top five teams are in the league. I think you do at the end of the year.
Right.
Right? Whatever combo you want to put them in. I think you do know who the last two or three teams are.
Mm-hmm.
But that middle on a given weekend in this league. I don't know. Not a whole lot of difference between the team that's sixth and the team that's 11th.
I will give you a preview of my accounting tomorrow. The four teams that are not eligible for a bowl will be the bottom four.
Agreed. Same here.
That will be the bottom four tomorrow.
Yeah.
So,
we're on the same page.
Congratulations to Virginia Tech, and in particular, J.C. Price. I'm just coaching changes, coaching extensions. Number one, Dave Clawson gets a multi-year extension. Long-term was the phrase used by Wake Forest in the release. Long-term contract extension. His name had been bandied about for jobs. There is a vacancy in Durham. David Cutcliffe and Nina King, the director of athletics at Duke, they mutually agree to part ways after a tremendous run by Coach Cutcliffe, and the rebuild job he did at Duke is phenomenal given what he inherited. 14 seasons, but they were 3-9 this year, and they lost 8 straight conference games to close the year. There are rumors in the coaching whirl. Carousel is the common word. I call it whirl because it can change like that. There are plenty of rumors about Virginia Tech. There will be plenty in the next coming days about Duke as well as ACC vacancies. And, oh, by the way, there are rumors about Miami's new athletic director today. So we will keep you posted as needed on that. I don't think we're going to cannonball into the pool of speculation. There are plenty of people willing to do that who are much closer to it than we are, and we'll share some of those thoughts as we move along. But it's a crazy deal now. This thing, Lincoln Riley going from Oklahoma to Southern California, will have an interesting trickle-down, I think, somewhere along the way here,
Pat. I want to thank Lincoln Riley. I do.
Okay.
Because he made my life this afternoon really easy. And really for the week, he made it really easy.
Yeah.
So I want to appreciate Lincoln going ahead and faking everybody out.
Yeah.
They really didn't fake and didn't lie or anything. They asked him, hey, are you heard all the speculation about the – and he stopped him in midstream line. And went, I am not going to be the head football coach at LSU. LSU. Next question.
There you go.
He didn't lie. Told the truth.
Absolutely not.
Somebody would have asked him about SC. That would have been an interesting –
a little quirkier answer.
But that didn't happen.
On the other side, boy, oh boy, the last wide receiver U of the regular season.
There's some good ones this week.
I've already got some finalists. I've already declared one finalist of the four. Next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday, show number 510. We're not done yet. We got a little wide receiver U to attend to. Multiple nominations from the weekend. Mr. Durham, it'll be up to you to cut it to four.
And a return of an old favorite on the list.
Okay.
Let's get to it. Let's start. Ready? Friday night. Here we go. We're going to roll it. Let's go to Carter Finley Stadium. Day Family Field. On the North Carolina State Fairgrounds in Raleigh, we're going to start with Kamari Morales of Carolina, the big tight end, hauls in that. Look at that.
I thought it was going to be intercepted.
I did too. That's why it's on the list. Kamari Morales, that's number one. Next.
Given what happened over the weekend, I mean, when it happened, he got nominated, right?
But now?
You look back at it and you're like, well, how did that make the list?
Kamari, your nominee. That's you have no shot of being a finalist, but we wish you all our best. Justin Olsen is next. Now, this, pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, a pretty good pass defense there by Trey Battle.
Yep. He was in a good spot.
Justin Olsen's had a couple, as I recall.
Yeah, and that spot in the football field is going to come back to be seen later in this segment.
Okay. In fact, now, here we go. The game winner. Run the ball, Roddy. Zip. I know what you're saying to yourself. It's got to be a finalist. It's got to be, right? Well, don't got to be.
I always say, again, it's not my call, but I do think the moment in which it happens in the game should come into play.
Okay.
I always think
that. I give you that.
I mean, a great catch is a great catch, but when it's like late or important or overtime like this one, I think it carries some weight. My opinion, but it's just my opinion.
Is Roddy Jones scheduled to come on and talk about running the ball?
For Roddy's sake, I hope not.
No. Come on. We got to get that in.
Why?
Got to get that in this week.
Terrible breakdown. That's why would you bring him on for that?
Well, he's going to have to help us sort out some of this all ACC, too, now. I will say that. Well, all right.
Why is that? We can't handle it?
No.
I think we're more than capable.
The splitting of the vote has been the issues. No. All right. Next, and a candidate to make it to the finals, Ontario Wilson. This is sick. That's two Gators right around him. Come on now.
Right. Great catch, but man, was I wrong about this game.
Yeah, I was too. One in. In fact, we got 3, 4, 5 in. That's the thing I like about it. Kept striding, kept going. Ontario Wilson. Well done. Trey Berry next.
Former winner.
Trey Berry is a winner in week one, I think. That's with the hurdle.
That is right.
Man. You know, Djurkovic's injury sidetracked Zay Flowers, and I think it sidetracked Trey Berry, too. Just saying.
How about Boston College entirely?
Well, probably did that, too.
That was a heck of a catch.
Boy, wait. Man, they smoked those guys. Jacoby George, I sent you all this one. I was watching. Look at that. Right there in the pocket.
Helps to watch. I've always found that to be
true. Yeah, I had an open date myself. I was taking it all in on Saturday.
Look at that catch.
How about that? Is that crazy? Oh, but wait. There's more.
Now, you got to cut it to four.
I know I do.
Got to cut to four.
Charleston Rambo. This set the mark, right? This is crazy. All right. I have a question for the committee.
Like perfect defense, and it didn't matter.
Rambo or George?
No. This is your call.
No, I'm asking the committee, not you.
Your call.
I think Charleston Rambo. But wait. I've already declared this a finalist. I've already said this would be on the list. Well, not this one. No. No, this is not. No. No.
Wait a minute. That was last week's. Andrew Booth.
Yeah, that's
just
no.
What you wanted.
No. That wasn't what I wanted.
But wait.
No. No.
How about Andrew? Maybe it was confused with all the interceptions he had at South Carolina.
Yeah.
Could that have been something you were thinking about?
Maybe.
Because he had two in the game.
I know he did. That was neither one of them.
Okay. And he almost had a third.
Right.
But he kind of bounced out of his hand. Like I said, if South Carolina could have had a guy just stay upwards.
Near Andrew Booth.
And just throw. If he could have thrown, Booth would have had like five picks against South Carolina. By himself. But the one he had two, and they were both pretty good, I gotta
right.
tell you.
They were.
But there was one that got nominated, which
I think
is
this is the one. Yeah, this is the one. Look at the catch. All the way through and controls it.
Right. Well, like I said earlier, after watching this game Saturday night, yeah. I don't know. All I can think about is how bad is Florida and Auburn? Seriously. Well, you got to be kidding me.
All right. Two more. Dakari Collins.
We had one.
Good to see Dakari. That's a nice catch.
Those Collins boys could be pretty good down the stretch next couple of years, don't you think?
I'll tell you something now. Man, they are scary. What that's going to be.
I agree with you.
Amari Huggins-Bruce on an otherwise fairly dim night for the Ville. It's a nice layout.
Yeah, oh,
look at Stoops. He didn't catch it. That's not a catch. Coach, he rolls through with that. That's a catch.
It's a catch, but it was not much of an effort that night. Loyal.
Okay. Here's where we are.
You got four?
I do.
You have five.
I had five. Oh. I'm down to four.
Did you eliminate Booth's interception in Wake Forest? Did you get rid of that one? Just asking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Andrew Booth is going to make the list.
He is.
He is, yes. Against South Carolina.
Wow.
Charleston Rambo. Makes the list.
Makes the cut. Okay.
Ontario Wilson.
Has to be on there.
On the list.
It's three.
Okay. And the moment. Emeka Emezi makes the list.
I think it's important. I do.
Emeka Emezi makes the list. So we're Andrew Booth of Clemson, Charleston Rambo of Miami, Ontario Wilson of Florida State, and Emeka Emezi of NC State. They make the list. And, yes, I know Jacoby George had a great catch. There are plenty you could have pulled from.
See, but, now last week, remember, we had all those Virginia Tech Hokies catch passes.
Yeah.
And the voting was kind of goofy, right?
Yeah.
Again, we don't make the call. We've emphasized this from day one.
Yeah.
It's all about the fans who make the call on this.
Okay.
So the fact that you've got four from four different schools, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that'll be good.
All right. Now, let's show you in weeks 1 through 12 the winners. Trey Berry, remember the hurdle? Okay. Charlie Thomas.
Interception.
The interception. Josh Downs.
Virginia in the corner.
The layout in the corner. Trey Turner, the bicycle
run
kick
the bike
against Richmond.
Right.
Dontavian Wicks.
With the ridiculousness at Miami.
Yeah. A.T. Perry a winner.
Yeah.
Devin Carter a winner. Wicks winning it back-to-back in weeks 8 and 9. Avante Williams, the safety of Miami. And then Trey Turner double dips in weeks 11 and 12. By the way, the other night, Trey Turner comes on the field to take the onside kick in the hands game. The hands team for Virginia Tech. So those are the previous 12 weeks. And who will we add? Andrew Booth, Charleston Rambo, Ontario Wilson, or Emeka Mezi?
If Booth wins, he becomes, I believe, the first to go wins in back-to-back seasons. Might have to look that up.
Yeah, he won twice.
Last year.
Last year in probably the catch. And are we going to do a wide receiver catch of the year this
yes,
year?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Of course we are. Why wouldn't we?
I know. Why wouldn't we? That's right. Why wouldn't we? All right, so those are your four finalists for Week 13. Andrew Booth, Charleston Rambo, Ontario Wilson, and Emeka Mezi.
Like it. Good job.
Thank you very much. When we come back, ACC Big Ten Challenge starts tonight. Boys and girls, we've got a couple of ball games over on the family of networks. We've also got one here on ACCN. We'll preview the night in hoops and close the Monday show after this.
Packer and Durham is presented by the Eat Fresh Refresh at Subway.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
After a crazy holiday filled with food and football, great basketball games,
yep,
coaching carousel, what more do you want? What more do you want, Wes Durham?
I tell you what I'd like. I'd like a three-day weekend.
Oh, you know what? We just had a four-day.
We couldn't get a three-day in Boston tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
Get out. It's just Jess Roy is
Jess
back.
Roy is going back to more ACC cities, letting you know where to go, where to eat, what to do. Oh. And she'll even have some special hidden places to explore. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Boston.
That's her town, isn't it?
It is where she's from. This ought to be exceptional.
This might be her best one yet.
ACC Network, ESPN app, three-day weekend on a Tuesday here on ACCN.
I am in for that.
There you go.
7 p.m. That will be perfect. Finish the radio show, run upstairs, grab the remote from Mrs. P, Jeopardy, not tonight, watching ACC Network. Jess Roy in Boston.
Tonight begins the 24th annual 24th Atlantic Coast Conference Big Ten Conference Basketball Challenge. 24th.
I would, here's your three games tonight.
By the way, the middle game, not part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge, obviously.
Would certainly make sense. Iowa and Virginia. I would say those are two teams that out of the gate have not been as good as I thought they would be.
That's right.
Now, again, it's late November. This is not March. They'll both get better. And Notre Dame, Illinois, you know, the Fighting Illini struggled a little bit too.
Yep.
Coming out of the gate.
Tomorrow.
You know, before you go off.
Yes, sir.
There is one thing I would like the real research department at ESPN to answer for me.
Okay.
There are only, according to the Associated Press latest poll, which has been released, there's only four teams from the ACC and the Big Ten ranked this week. Four. That's it. I wonder, Wes, in the history of the Big Ten ACC Challenge.
Right.
Is that the smallest number? I got to figure it is. In the this is year 24?
Of the ACC Big Ten Challenge, yes. It started in 1997.
Both leagues combined have only got four ranked teams as of this second in the AP poll. I would like to know what the numbers are in the years past. Have the research department look that up.
Okay. Maybe we'll have an answer for you tomorrow.
I can't believe it would be less than four.
All right.
Would you agree with that?
I think our I think the Lumberjacks can get that for tomorrow.
Well, I mean, we got real professionals up there in Bristol.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be sitting there spending hours upon hours with. Let me show you how stupid I am. Let me show you how dumb I am.
Okay.
When I started messing with North Carolina.
Oh, no.
When North Carolina and NC State started going through that craziness on Friday, I was thinking, man, North Carolina, top 10, going to finish 500. I started messing around. This is what it looks like when I start messing around with numbers. This is how stupid it is. All right, that's what it looks like. So I'm going through every year. Oh, wait a minute. Now they finished it.
You do become the Rain Man.
I told you I'm stupid. This is why I don't sleep at night. It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Can we get you a bigger notepad with the new budget we're going to get in January? Hey,
no disrespect.
Wait a second now.
This is what you get after year two. Year one, you get the pin, which you never got.
I never got the pin.
Year two, you get this.
I never got that either.
Well, I'm just telling you, I've told you from day one.
Is that? Let me see that for a second.
You like
can
that?
I see that?
I mean, that's like really nice.
Check this on the back. Oh, compliments of FPI.
I made up to FPI. I apologize, FPI.
Yeah.
My new mistress is the net, because when it comes out, I'm going to go off on the net. The net's going to be mine.
All right.
Sorry, FPI. It's been fun.
All right. ACC Big Ten Challenge starts tonight. Iowa at Virginia, 7 o'clock on ESPN2, followed by Notre Dame at number 14, Illinois, one of the four teams you're talking about.
Right.
Tomorrow night, keep this in mind. We'll touch on this again tomorrow, along with all ACC. Here's tomorrow night. Now, Indiana-Syracuse... That's one.
What's going on with my boys at Syracuse?
That's going to be for you.
That's my problem.
Minnesota visits Pittsburgh. Florida State at Purdue.
Play hard. Purdue is really good.
They are very good.
And it's a great home court advantage.
Everybody will talk about number 5 Duke's visit to Ohio State. I would say this, in terms of ACC resume building, Northwestern at Wake Forest and Clemson at Rutgers, those are games that if you're going to build your midline resume, kind of get you to friendly places in March, those are the type games that do it.
He's incapable of beating the Buckeyes. There is no way he can beat the Buckeyes. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Paul Feinbaum's notes from last week. I'm sorry. Wrong show.
Oh, wrong show, wrong sport.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. It's Mike Krzyzewski tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think he's very capable of beating the Buckeyes.
Yeah. Here is Wednesday night, by the way, in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. That is a different schedule. That's the women's ACC Big Ten Challenge. That's why. Rutgers at Pitt, Nebraska at Wake Forest, Georgia Tech at Purdue, Virginia Tech at Wisconsin, Ohio State at Syracuse, North Carolina, Minnesota. Those are the Wednesday night games on the women's side. Now let's see. We got the men's calendar behind it that starts with Louisville at Michigan State, Nebraska at NC State, Virginia Tech at Maryland. You got Michigan at Penn State, or Michigan at Carolina, Miami at Penn State, Wisconsin at Georgia Tech. That's the men's matchup.
Are we going to have tests for all the viewers and listeners at the end of this segment to try to figure out the schedule?
No, we're good.
Can we just – I mean, we do this moving forward. Let's just worry about tonight.
That's
it. And we'll get to Tuesday and Wednesday accordingly.
Three nights of the ACC Big Ten Challenge on the men's side, and as you see, there's a Wednesday slate and a Thursday slate on the ladies' side. Packer and Durham podcast is always available. We appreciate your patronage on that as well.
You think that segment will be in there? I hope not.
So, that's available wherever you download your podcast.
What do you think? We win or lose the challenge on the men's side? What you have seen so far from the Atlantic Coast Conference, where Duke looks like they are by far the best team, there are others that are struggling mightily at the bottom, and then the middle could be anything.
I'm going to say
conference.
We tie.
Oh, that is a terrible answer.
It is a terrible answer. And that's I'm sorry to have to give that to you, but I'm going to say we tie. Here's the – okay, let me give you the reality.
Yeah.
I like Virginia tonight. I like Illinois tonight. So it's 1-1 after tonight, okay? It's 1-1. Tomorrow night, I'm going to take Syracuse because it's at the Dome. I'm going to take Minnesota at Pitt. I'm going to take Purdue. So that's 5 in. I'll take Wake at home. Okay? That's 6 in and it's 3-3. Clemson Rutgers.
Rematch of the NCAA tournament.
I'm going to go with the home team. That's Rutgers. I'll take Duke at Ohio State. We're still tied. Then you come down to the final six on Wednesday night. Like Michigan State at home against Louisville, although I think the Cards are playing a lot better.
That's a good game.
Cards look good at the Bahamar.
Yeah.
I like NC State at home against Nebraska. I like Virginia Tech at Maryland. I saw Maryland-Louisville, and I like Virginia Tech in that game.
It's a good game, too.
Michigan at Carolina? Coin flip?
Think so?
I think Carolina plays hard, but Carolina's got to get stops.
Got to start playing a little tougher defense.
Miami at Penn State. And I like – if Georgia Tech is off the flu, I like Georgia Tech against Wisconsin. That's a tie. So I'm telling you, I just didn't happen to the tie.
The challenge, I've really enjoyed the challenge.
I have too. It's hard to believe it's 24 years old. Thanks to the winner of the Jacobs Blocking Trophy, Ike Ekwonu from Charlotte and the North Carolina State University Wolfpack, a finalist for the Outland Trophy. Congratulations, big fella. You are a tremendous player, and we look forward to following you.
Hope you're a Panther. We're rooting for you here in Carolina.
Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, we will unveil the all-ACC football team on this very program, along with an array of guests on this show.
We got some big guests making appearances.
We do. That's later in the week.
I don't want to confuse everybody. It's going to be nice.
ACC Big Ten Challenge starts tonight. Mark and I will see you tomorrow morning. Thanks to Drew and Josh and Chrissy and Rich and everybody involved helping bring Packer and Durham to your television and radio offerings on a Monday. We'll see you at 7 a.m. Have a good day on Off Campus. Mark's available this afternoon on Sirius XM 84. Take care.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, Sirius XM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.